تفسير from verse 7. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين. Indeed, in the story of Yusuf and his brothers, there are signs for the inquirers, for those who ask. Now, as we know, Yusuf alayhi salam had 11 brothers, of which Benjamin was his full brother, and the rest of the 10 were his half brothers from the father's side, meaning they were step brothers. So out of these brothers, Yusuf alayhi salam got the prophethood. Now in this episode, there are signs, and we will see when we will read the story. But here, Sa'ilin refers to the people of Quraysh, who in order to test Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they asked about the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers. Now they thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not know, so he won't be able to answer. Thus the fact will be disclosed. But Allah Ta'ala not only made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tell the whole incident in detail, but also the lesson in this incident. That is, the state of the people of Quraysh was also mentioned. Therefore said, the ones who are asking the question should now be able to bear when hearing the answer as well. That is, it is not only an episode, a story, but there are some signs to reflect. It has signs to ponder. Now here it also shows that the stories or the tales in Quran are not only some stories or events, but lessons to learn from. They are signs from Allah Ta'ala in order to attain guidance. And in contrast to this, the stories that we hear in this world, there are a few lessons and more of destruction, waste of time, corruption of minds. And sometimes such habits develop that man cannot do any other constructive work and does not develop any interest. And a non-serious attitude develops. Like you see in our society, there are some series or stories whose addicts cannot sleep without reading them. And then those who become used to these stories, they cannot live without them. They're just mere entertainment. The stories in the Quran are not mere entertainment, because purpose of life is not just mere entertainment, okay? Now this event in itself is full of great signs of the perfect power of Allah Ta'ala, and that in it there were major elements of divine guidance and instructions and injunctions. Now one could imagine the destiny of a child who was thrown in a pit when the power of Allah Ta'ala took over, carried him from one stage to the other, guarding him all along from his childhood to his youth. Then Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with a divine color, as Allah Ta'ala would do with his special servants, for he stood steadfast as his servant against trials which would make obedience difficult. It is all the more difficult when one is young and challenged by opportunities. But here is he, armed with the fear of Allah. He holds his crown, controls his self from desiring the undesirable, and walks out clean from the stranglehold of temptation. Then the story tells us how Allah Ta'ala rewards a person who takes to righteousness and fear of Allah as his conscious and determined way of life, how he makes him rise higher than his adversaries in power and recognition, and how they stand subdued before him finally. And for people for who this life is just an entertainment, so who are those? They are those people who do not have paradise or the hereafter before them. But you see, for a Muslim, this world is a place to work. You read in Surah Hud, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He is taking your test so that he sees who among you does ahsan deeds. So to do good works, one needs to develop good thoughts. And good thoughts one gets by, number one, good literature, number two, by good company, number three, good environment. Now these three things are very important: to have a good company, good books, because they nourish the mind, good environment, good people, and good literature, as it creates good thinking. And when man develops good thinking, then what happens? Man's vision attains vastness. He becomes far-sighted, Not only does man benefit himself, but others as well, and he becomes the leader of the caravan, and he takes other people along with him. So before adopting anything as a habit or just mere entertainment, we should see its results in our life, that by reading those things, are you heading towards good, constructive work, serving people, obeying Allah, and attaining nearness to Allah or not? Or is one's mind going or heading towards despair, towards hatred of people? Because you see, whichever author or writer or a poet you read, so what his feelings are, in fact, becomes yours too. The way he speaks, like whether he makes you cry, so you cry, or if he makes you laugh, then you laugh. And in reality, it has no truth behind it. It is just conjectures. Like it comes, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. These people are following conjectures, and conjectures do not avail as compared to haq. That is, to be realistic and to base one's life on realities, truth. This is extremely important. If we just live in the world of dreams or fantasy world, and we have assumptions regarding the dunya and just have some suppositions regarding the hereafter, then it will cause us loss. Now you can read a story, but which has a lesson that is beneficial. Now, remember Yusuf alayhi salam had 10 brothers who had enmity against him, and the people of Quraysh too were 10 tribes who were enemies to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But later they all became Muslims like Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, as they all came and prostrated to Yusuf alayhi salam. Is qalu, and when they said to one another, who? The brothers. What? La Yusufu wa akhuhu. This Yusuf and his brother, who? Benjamin. Ahabbu ila abina minna, are loved more by our father than us. Wa nahnu usba, even though we are a group. We are a group of 10 and can help him more than them. Usba, it is a word used in the Arabic for a group of 10 men, not women, okay? 10 men. It is a group of 10 or more. A strong group, like army. Strong young men. Usba gives us an image of a strong group. So in Arabic, Usba, it means strong young men. So they said, although we are Usba, they thought, how can a father love these two more than us? We are strong, and still we have no importance, no value. Inna abana lafi dhalalin mubeen. In fact, our father is clearly mistaken. They said, we see that our father loves Yusuf and his brother Benjamin, Benjamin, much more than us, although we are 10 of us and older than them. We have the ability and group strength to manage the affairs of the family, while they both are small children who cannot do much. Our father should have noticed this, and we are the ones he should have been loving more. Here, please look at this word, dhalalin. Here it means forgetfulness, absent-mindedness. That is, the father is forgetting that by ignoring us, so the end result will be bad, it won't be good. Their objection was, why does the father love these two brothers more and not us? The brothers of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam saw that their father Yaqub alayhi salam loved Sayyidina Yusuf unusually more than them, who were older than him. Therefore, this made them envy him. Now you see, the proof that they give for their greatness and love, importance, and for their being given more attention is that we are more in number. We are a group. We are strong. So you see, for a group to be more in number or to be more strong physically, is this a proof or a sign that they should be loved? Are these the qualities for which people should be loved more? Now these are satanic whisperings which gives man wrong thoughts. If you think, I'm very tall and so-and-so is short, or my younger brother is dearer to the mother while I'm elder, or I'm taller, I'm stronger, so why I'm not loved more? So you see, to be strong is not a proof for one to be loved more. And then also see what words they use for their father. Inna abana lafi dalalim mubeen. What does this show? It shows who uses these words, they're not worthy to be loved. And their words or their conversation highlights what? It highlights their role, their character. Muslim children do not use such words for their parents, okay? And neither they should. Rather, they should always respect the parents. And it is incumbent on children to be dutiful to their parents, okay? As it comes in the Holy Quran, وَخْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَكَ ذُلِّمْ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ You, with mercy and love, adopt humbleness before them, who? Before your parents. Lower your shoulders. That is not only in your speech, but your posture should not be such in front of your parents, which shows some arrogance. For example, it comes under disobeying Allah's command. And it comes under sin. It will be included in what? Uquqe walidain. With ayn, ayn, uquqe walidain, not huquqe walidain. Uquq is the opposite of huquq. It is disobedience, cutting the relations. What? Like for example, raising eyebrows, shrugging your shoulders, frowning, grumbling, speaking rudely to them. All these are what? Sinful deeds. And one's reward is also wasted. Or to say, our parents, they're fools, they don't understand. Inna abana lafi dalalim mubeen. Now it does not suit a Muslim to use or utter such words, okay? And sometimes out of confidence, like saying we are overconfident, one utters such words and we think we will overpower others on the basis of our strength. Because of our strength, we will overpower our parents as well. No. But remember, we can win their hearts by love, affection. If we really want parents to love us and show affection to us, then we have to be humble. Be humble to them, okay? Now tell me, do you really think that Yaqub alayhi salam was being unjust with his children? Or is it permissible for the parents to show love to one child or some of the children and not to the others? So first of all, we cannot expect this from a prophet. But that's a different matter. If one child is inclining towards you with love and respect, he serves you, speaks with love to you, then naturally you will do dua for him from your heart. And the other child is rude, then how will the parents show love and mercy then, huh? And then the children start making comparison that so-and-so is loved or more favorite and I'm being neglected. But they never see what is the difference between me and my brother and why parents love him more, why they do more dua for him and not for me. There can be some fault in me too. But generally, Shaitan does not let us see our own faults and instead puts whispers in our heart, creates misunderstandings that your parents don't love you or care for you. Although this is the greatest misconception. Because for parents, there is no greater blessing other than the children. And if parents do such, like if they give preference to one child and leave others without any reason, so they should not do such. Because this causes enmity, stubbornness, hatred amongst children. Or sometimes, for example, parents leave property in the name of one child and ignore the other. And as a result, the other child becomes an enemy to the one who gets the property. And also to the parents. You see, Islam is a deen of justice. And if parents do injustice, any zulm, so it is not permissible that they give to one child and deprive the rest or do any lessening in it. And here we find that famous incident of Noman bin Bashir, that his father gave something to him. So his mother said, I'm not pleased that you have given something to Noman until you don't ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And here we see a wife's role, that the husband commits a mistake and she stops him and she says, I don't accept it until you go and ask the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Bashir comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he says, Noman is dear to me and I want to give him some of my wealth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks, did you give the rest of your children as well? He said, no. He said, I like him, so that is why I gave him. On this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La ushedu ala jawrin. I'm not a witness to zulm. Meaning this is zulm, that you give to one child and not to the other. So I cannot be a witness to this. What does this mean? That you don't do such. And now here, This proof was presented by the brothers of Yusuf that we are Usba, a group, more in number. Now they were talking to each other. Is qalu li Yusuf wa akhuhu. They said to one another, this Yusuf and his brother who? Benjamin, Benjamin. Ahabbu ila abina minna. Are loved more by our father than us. Wa nahnu Usba, even though we are a group. Inna abana lafi dalalim mubin. In fact, our father is clearly mistaken. Now, they found a reason. For what? Uqtulu Yusuf. Let us kill Yusuf. Meaning, Yusuf is the actual reason to mislead our father. When Yusuf won't be there, then there won't be anyone as the center of attention for our father. And then our father will have to look after us, pay attention to us. You see, we always tend to find such a solution for our problems that so-and-so troubles me. So let's do something. Isolate such a person, huh? Or speak ill against him. Why? So that no one else loves him. And people think we are right. Now, of course, we cannot do this that let's murder someone or throw him somewhere. What do? We create such an environment that the other person is isolated. We talk against that person. Create a front against him so that he falls in the eyes of others, and then we will automatically gain importance, some position in others' eyes. Now the basic reason for this is what? Jealousy, envy.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, beware of envy, because envy consumes the virtues just as the fire consumes the firewood.
So there was envy, jealousy against Yusuf alaihi salam. And see how many evils it was spreading. Because of jealousy, the father is called what? Lafi dalalim mubin. And then regarding Yusuf alayhi salam, the worst of all evils in huququl ibad, that they are planning to kill him. Because of this jealousy, they are deciding to kill their brother. And mostly what is this? It is man's nafs. See that dua that we read, وَلَا تَكِلْنَا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِنَا طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. It is because of the evil of our nafs that why am I behind? Why am I not given attention? Why not my name or my respect? All evils start from here. This is the root of all mischief, that when man assumes greatness, they cut everyone else off and only I should be seen. Uqtulu Yusuf. Let us kill Yusuf. Now this was an argument or a dispute between brothers. But such happens between sometimes husband and wife as well, or sometimes in one's in-laws. And we think the solution is in these things, that stop talking to that person for boycott. And sometimes wrong image of a person is presented. Why? So that others feel threatened or insecure, that if he is given more attention, then we will have no say and everyone will listen to him. So just ignore him. Why should he be given more importance? Now remember, it is not by bad character, but good character. Not by hatred, but by love. Not by arrogance, but by humility, that one is able to win hearts of other people. You see, love is such a cure that it can conquer the whole world. Because you see, one is to rule by the sword, and the actual rule is that is on the hearts. And this tactic, mostly people are unfamiliar of. Because for this, one has to sacrifice. And one has to lower himself, humble himself and be patient. But we do the total opposite of this. And we try to be big and behave in an arrogant manner. That by being arrogant, we will go ahead, proceed ahead and succeed. Now it can be that temporarily people may be scared from such arrogant people. They are awed, huh? And they do not say anything to them. But they cannot be loved by others. No one loves such arrogant people. So you see, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam were like this. Remember one thing? They were all Muslims. It is the story of Muslims. And it is relevant to us. Like you know about other prophets' nations, we said, oh, they were disbelievers. So whatever they did was because they were kafirs. But we say we are Muslims, huh? And we think therefore we cannot commit any mistake. So here we see, also, they are the children of a prophet. And then see how shaitan and their own nafs overpowers them. Never think that I belong to so-and-so family. such and such household, or I have studied in such and such institute, or I read the Quran or teach the Quran, so there can be no flaw in me, I'm very pious. No. You see, Shaitan said, I will come from behind, in front, left, right. So only two ways were open from which he cannot come. Dua and the one who is doing sajda, sajda of namaz. Shaitan cannot attack him. Such a person can be protected. Otherwise, man is surrounded by Shaitan from every side. And man is surrounded from inside by his own nafs, which always commands to evil. Ammaratum bisu. And this is liyabluwakum, our test. If we overpower our nafs, then we can do what? Ahsanu amala. This is the name of tazkiyah nafs. When the nafs will be pure of evil, from bad, then real good can come. And otherwise, only doing piety deeds for show off, superficiality, so there is no reward. So man always justifies himself and gives the verdict, what? Kill someone. Now see, they are Muslims and they are saying, what? Kill Yusuf. And that to their own brother. So there are three sins together. Killing is a major sin. Number two, killing a Muslim. And then number three, killing a brother. How nafs makes it easy? Kill him. Sometimes we don't kill people, but we harm them, ruin their honor, dishonor, humiliate them. So it is as to kill someone as well. Like we break their hearts, we're so rude, we cause pain to that person, give pain to his inner soul, that maybe dying is much easier, but this death becomes more difficult. This killing is more painful and scary. It is said, the wound of a sword erases, but the wound caused by the tongue, its effects remain on the spirit till very long. Body can heal, but not the spirit. And this is man's greatest test. Uqtulu Yusuf, let us kill Yusuf. Awitrahuhu ardan, or throw him to a land. Throw him out to some far off land. Look at this word, tarh. It is from twa, ra, ha, meaning to throw. Throw him afar off land. Banish him to a distant land so that they can enjoy the love of the father. Awitrahuhu ardan yakhlu lakum wajhu abikum. Or throw him out to some far off land so that the attention of our father turns exclusively towards us. Kill Yusuf, then there will only be you and your father, no one between you. But they did not think that by taking him to a distant land, so the one who is dear to the father, how would they be able to gain their father's attention and love? By causing pain, grief to their father, then how can they gain father's love? You see, generally it is seen, like for example, between a husband and wife. Mostly, what is the problem? Like for example, the husband does not pay attention, or the husbands, they do not give the rights to the wives. And it is true, maybe it is right, it may have happened. But why did the quarrel start? Like if someone comes to me and tells the problem, I always ask, how did the quarrel start? And mostly the answer is use of bad language. Like we women, we think, oh, we can hit back or dishonor the husband or shout and yell at him. Will that be a means of gaining a husband's love? And mostly this is how women want to gain love. This is totally wrong. See, Allah Ta'ala gave man a higher degree. وَلِلْرَجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. A higher degree than women. And to women, Allah Ta'ala says, فَالصَّالِحَاتٌ قَانِتَاتٌ. Righteous women are obedient, humble. So those women who do not stop screaming or answering back or taunting will never be able to gain the respect and love of their husbands, because man has a weak point. He wants to be honored because Allah Ta'ala has made him such. It is his demand, and it is the demand of his fitra, nature, that he is acknowledged to have a higher degree. But mostly women do not know this. And women want to be equal to man or even higher than them. And as a result of all this, we don't respect the husbands. And then we want that they give us love and care for us. We're also humans, not angels. And if they have done some wrong,
than to react in a negative way, it only causes loss. The cure for this is wisdom and sabr.
Qanitat, qunut, obedience. So they thought to kill Yusuf, and then father will love us, huh?
What more foolishness can be there? You take away what one loves, and then you say, now you love me instead of him.
And then especially when your akhlaq, conduct is not worthy of it, and neither your style, that one should be inclined towards you.
And then reassurance. What do they say?
وَتَكُونُوا مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ.
After that, we may again become righteous people. That after this incident, we all will become good human beings.
What is the lesson here? Hmm?
Like we say, when we get old, then we will do tawbah. We do such too, huh? We do wrong and then we say, we'll do hajj or umrah. And then be forgiven or do sadqah.
Fine, commit sin.
Because we cannot control our nafs, huh?
So do what you want. And then after this, be pious. Be good. This is what we say.
Now this is another way of promising to do piety deed afterwards. We are young, we are not married, and we have to wear the hijab from now. Who will we show our clothes and our jewelry, huh? And as everyone does this, why we to be so obedient to Allah?
وَتَكُونُوا مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ.
After that, we may again become righteous people. Do whatever, then after that we'll read Tawba Nafal. Or we'll do Tawba later on. We follow the nafs quickly and do good later, tomorrow, huh? We will sin today and do piety deed tomorrow. This is our way. And this is actually the evil of man's nafs.
So this verse describes how the brothers exchanged opinions among themselves. Some suggested that Yusuf be killed. Others opted for throwing him into a desolate pit so that the thorn in their side could be removed, and they could thus become the sole recipients of their father's attention. As for the sin they would be earning for themselves by killing or throwing him in a pit, that was something which could be taken care of later when they could repent for what they did and thus become righteous. So this is the meaning of the sentence, وَتَكُونُوا مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. And after that you may become a righteous people. Understood?
قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ.
At this one of them said,
it is said the giver of this advice was their elder brother Yehuda, Judah.
Meaning out of these 10 brothers, the elder one, Yehuda, he said, what?
لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ.
Do not kill Yusuf.
Here you see how Allah Ta'ala creates supporters, helpers from inside the majority of those people who are opposing. This is Allah's work. And this is called Allah's wisdom, Allah's will, Allah's power. In severe darkness, a streak of light comes. And here all the rest agree to kill him. And one of them says, no.
What?
La taqtulu Yusuf.
Do not kill Yusuf.
When Allah Ta'ala wants to save someone, he does so. And this is called tawakkul. Trust in Allah. In severe opposition, Allah Ta'ala will create, send some helpers, supporters. Like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from among his enemies, some helpers came forward and protected him. That is why never ever think, how can I do this good work? So many people are doing something else. And shall I do this work? It is really difficult. Remember, Allah will bring helpers to you. But never displease Allah. Never sacrifice your principle. We displease Allah and we try to please the rest of the people, huh? And then also we have this conviction that Allah's help will come. But over here in severe opposition, a helper came, and from among the ones who were opposing. Remember we read in the first juz, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَحْبِتُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ.
Even the stones split asunder, or they fall from heights.
So even in severe opposition, it will cause or create cracks, split asunder. That is why I never think that people will go against me. Therefore, I won't do any good deed. I cannot work for Allah's deen. Because today, if they are opposing you, tomorrow these same people will be your helpers, supporters.
So there is only one Rabb. If you please him, then no one can cause you any harm. And this gives man complete reassurance.
قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ.
At this one of them said, do not kill Yusuf. وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ
يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ.
But if you must, throw him into some dark well, so that he may be picked up by some passing-by caravan.
That is, he will be picked up by some caravan of travellers passing by.
Your objective is to get rid of him. And this way you will rid yourself of this brother without having to kill him.
Why to kill him? Just throw him in a well.
In kuntum fa'ilin. If you must do something.
Because you see, if he was left in the jungle, then he would of course come after them. So it's best to distance him from you.
Look at this word, غيابت. Literally, غيابة means everything which hides something in or makes it disappear.
Jub, it refers to a well without raised sidings.
Now it must be a well with no water, a deserted well, not very low.
يَلْتَقِطْهُ,
it is from لُقْتَ,
لَمْ قَافْ طُوَ.
Now the word لُقْتَ refers to something left or dropped, which is found by someone without having the desire to have it.
لُقْتَ refers to something left or dropped, which is found by someone without having the desire to have it.
Meaning people will think, as this well has no raised sidings, so this boy must have fallen in this well, and thus they will pick him up.
The word as-sayyara means wayfarers or caravan.
Sair is the root, means to walk on earth, travel on earth. Sayyara is caravan. So any caravan will pass by this well, and to take water will peep inside and will take him along or kidnap him.
In kuntum fa'ilin.
Qalu ya abana.
Now after this meeting, they ask their father,
O our father.
Now here if you see, the part of the story as taken up onwards in the present verses shows the eloquent brevity of the Quran, when sections of the story which can be understood independently have not been necessarily described. The details are not given here. Why? Because one can use his imagination. How Yusuf alayhisalam's brothers acted upon their plan. Now if it is mentioned in detail that they found a well and then they took him over there and threw him in it, so all this was extra detail to the story. And the Quran does not narrate a story with the purpose of exaggerating every small or big issue. You see, the difference between ordinary stories and the Quran is that ordinary stories have exaggeration, while the stories of the Holy Quran are mentioned precisely to the point. That is why you will see there will be certain gaps in the story which you will have to fill in with your imagination. Now another benefit in it is that man's involvement is more and he reflects what happened. And if everything is told, then what work will we have to do then? This too is a style of education, that one should not be spoon-fed, not tell or narrate all the small or big details, but you should think about it too. Now after planning, they go to their father, and what do they say?
قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا.
They ask their father,
O our father, مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّ عَلَى يُوسُفْ.
Why is it that you do not trust us with Yusuf?
What's wrong with you?
Don't you trust us with Yusuf?
You see, what a style of speaking, huh? That is to tempt the other, persuade the other. It is said in a way so as to blame him. Like one is to say, you do this, huh? And one is the way you say, you never do such. So this is to persuade the other, so that the other person says, okay, I will do it.
وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَنَاسِحُونَ.
Though we are his sincere well-wishers. Now this is well-wishing only, how? By merely words. But there was something else in the heart. What was in the heart and what was on the tongue? There was contradiction. And see what were their plans, and then see what they are saying. Do we do this?
something is in our heart, and while giving others some advices or suggestions, we're saying something else, and then we do something else, huh? Now here, they started executing their plan by this introductory statement, even though they really intended its opposite out of envy towards Yusuf for being loved by his father.